Our second scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 18 through 30. So let us listen now for God's word to us this day. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few be saved?" He said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' Then in reply, he will say to you, 'I do not know where you came from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank with you and taught in our streets.' But he will say to you, 'I do not know where you come from. Go away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrown out. And then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and take their places at the banquet in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Amen." The year was 1939, and Chiyune Sugihara had just been given the greatest opportunity of his career. For over a decade and a half, Chiyune had worked at the Japanese Empire's Foreign Office, assisting as a low-level diplomat in Russia and China and Finland. But now, at the age of 39, he had just been named as the Foreign Office's vice consul to Lithuania. The posting was a great chance to advance up the diplomatic ranks, albeit a fraught one, given that Germany had just invaded Lithuania's neighbor Poland a few months prior. But on November 1939, Chiyune, his wife Yukiko, and their 4 sons, including a newborn, moved to Lithuania's temporary capital of Kaunas. Though he had a variety of responsibilities, one of the primary aspects of his role was keeping the Japanese government informed about troop movements in and out of the city. Lithuania was now the only country in between Germany and the Soviet Union, and so there was a justified fear about an invasion or about them becoming caught in the crossfire of these 2 much larger powers. Kaunas was also now home to a massive refugee population that had fled Poland when it had been invaded. Most of these refugees, particularly Polish Jews, did not have documentation to travel in either Germany or the Soviet Union, which meant that they were there, trapped and stuck. Now, this tense situation reached a breaking point in the summer of 1940, when the Soviet Union annexed Lithuania and other Baltic states and informed all foreign offices they would be shut down at the end of August, which meant that all foreign diplomats would be sent home, and any refugees living in Kaunas would now have absolutely no option for escape in just a few months' time. And so in the days after this announcement, a little over a month before he would be sent home, Sugihara was visited by a Jewish delegation with a simple request: a handful of immigration or transit visas, anything that could help this group escape without being arrested as they fled to the east. Sugihara promised to inquire about this matter and passed the request along to his foreign ministry office in Tokyo. Over a week later, he received his reply that the request was denied. But recognizing the danger that these refugees were in, he began to explore other visa options, reaching out to his government only to hear denials again and again. Yukiko, his wife, reflected many years later, "My husband sent a telegram for the 3rd time. The answer was the same answer: do not issue any visas. We did not know what to do. I could see the refugees from my window. It was so hard for us to watch. They were so miserable. We could not sleep at night, but I had a baby. We had 3 young children. If my husband issued those visas contrary to the Foreign Office, When we returned to Japan, my husband would for sure lose his job. We kept thinking and thinking about what to do. Lord, will only a few be saved? Jesus is asked as he's on his way to Jerusalem. It was a question about a different type of salvation from the one people were hoping for in Lithuania in 1940. But the urgency behind it was the same. In a world that seemed to be in chaos, people were struggling to understand where they fit into it all and what they were supposed to do. Jesus doesn't answer the question directly, but instead responds with a challenging encouragement. Strive to enter through the narrow door, he tells them. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. It's a response that on its face seems to suggest that we must earn our relationship with God, until Jesus shockingly goes on to describe Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and all of Israel's prophets thrown out as well. In short, everyone will fall short, but that does not mean that we are meant to despair. Instead, Jesus tells us by striving to enter through the narrow door, by doing the best that we can to live a life defined by faith and love, then one day people will come from east and west, from north and south, to eat at the expansive table that is found in the kingdom of God. Now, this passage appears in Matthew's gospel as well, there as part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this connection to living a faithful life is made even more explicit. Right before telling the gathered crowd to enter through the narrow door, Jesus tells them this: "In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets." Following what became best known as the Golden Rule is all that easy, but it's also all that hard. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the narrow door that we are all striving for, the road that I think is less taken. But that is the foundation on which we begin to build what it means to live a faithful life. It's easy to scoff at that as a solution. I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling like my actions sometimes don't seem to make the slightest bit of difference sometimes, or even if they do, that it's just a drop in the wider bucket. It's easy to resign ourselves to the way that things are, to throw up our hands and think that what we say or give or do does not matter. But it's to that attitude that Jesus offers a few curious short parables. To what should I compare the kingdom of God, Jesus asks. It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree. The birds of the air made nests in its branches. And it is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus' descriptions of the gospel, or of God's kingdom, are complex and varied throughout the gospels. But it's in these simple metaphors that he is sharing a powerful truth with us. Mustard seeds and yeast are smaller than a sesame seed, and yet both have the ability to transform what is around them in powerful and lasting ways. A single mustard seed will increase in size over 3,000-fold as it grows into a plant that's over 10 feet tall. And yeast is less than 1% of a dough's overall weight, and yet it makes the entire loaf rise. There are times when the kingdom of God may feel absent in the world around us. And yet I believe that every act of love has that potential to remake this world, even if it's hidden in plain sight at first. We do unto others as we would have them do unto us, because we trust that every time we do, God's kingdom is given another opportunity to flourish. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. As Chiyune and Yukiko wrestled with what to do about these refugees seeking their help and obtaining travel visas, there were certainly plenty of reasons for them to hold back. The Sugiharas had been on the job for less than 8 months, and openly defying the foreign ministry's orders would derail or even end his career. They had 4 young children and already had no home to return to when they would be sent back to Japan in a little over a month. And at the end of the day, they would just be following orders. They didn't know the people asking them for help, and issuing these visas seemed like it would be no more than a drop in the bucket, given everything else that was going on in the world at that time. And yet that's the funny thing about mustard seeds. Given the opportunity, they grow far beyond our wildest imaginations of them. When asked several decades later about his ultimate decision to start issuing visas anyway, a decision which may have been grounded in his Orthodox Christian faith, Chiyune reflected, "You want to know about my motivation? The people in Tokyo were not united, so I felt it silly to deal with them. I knew that somebody would surely complain about me in the future, but I myself thought that this would be the right thing to do. There's nothing wrong with saving many people's lives. The spirit of humanity, philanthropy, neighborly friendship, it was with this spirit that I ventured to do what I did." In a typical month, the Japanese embassy in Lithuania would issue around 50 travel visas. But from July 18th to August 28th in 1940, a 40-day time period, Chiyune Sugihara is believed to have handwritten and stamped over 2,100 visas before he and his family were called back to Japan. Now, the total number of Polish Jews and others whom he helped to escape in those 40 days is impossible to verify, but because those visas could be used by entire families, it's been estimated that this simple act of defiance, one that was born out of love, may have helped as many as 6,000 people escape before the Germans would invade Lithuania less than a year later. Sugihara would later say that he remembered thinking his government probably didn't realize how many visas he actually issued. He was shifted around a few more times during the war, but as soon as the war had ended, he was permanently dismissed because of that incident in Lithuania. For the next few decades, his story was almost completely unknown. He worked low-level jobs before eventually becoming a trade representative in the Soviet Union, never working in the Foreign Office again. But in 1968, a man from the Israeli government named Yeshua Nishri tracked him down and revealed himself to be one of the children whom Sugihara had helped escape almost three decades ago. He had the opportunity to thank him for saving his family and countless others. And Sugihara has since been posthumously honored in Japan and his willingness to do what was right, even at the ways and at the expense of how it affected him and his family. And it's both remarkable and inspiring. Most of us likely won't have the opportunity to help people at the scale and the scope of what Sugihara was able to do with nothing more than a pen and a stamp. But that does not mean that we do not already have ample opportunities to find places in our lives, to strive for the narrow door, to pursue the path less traveled in which we genuinely do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and place the needs of others before our own. There are so many people and places in our world today who are hurting, so many things that feel as if they are broken, that it can be hard to know where to begin. But that's the funny thing about mustard seeds. The smallest act of love, one so small that we may not even see it, can grow and grow until it helps the kingdom of God be more fully realized here among us. It's the mustard seed of tutoring a child through Chicago Lights, helping them build not only academic skills, but helping them know they have another person who is there for them. It's the seed of serving as a youth volunteer in confirmation, helping kids explore what it means to claim the faith they grew up in as their own, all while sharing your own faith story with them. It's the seed of serving at coffee hour with a warm welcome and a smile, helping someone who may not feel at home at churches feel just a little bit more comfortable here. These small things may not feel like much in the moment, but I've seen firsthand the impact that they can have in someone else's life. What is the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God is love put into practice, sometimes in ways that are so small as to be hidden in plain sight, but that always carry with them the potential to remake lives, remake communities, and perhaps even someday to remake our world in the way that God ultimately envisions for us. Every act of love, every generous gift, and every kind word is a mustard seed that carries the potential to transform what is around it, even if it might come at a cost to us. Strive to enter through the narrow door, Jesus tells us. So we too try our best to follow in his footsteps, remembering all those who have helped make God's love better manifest in this world, and praying that we can do our part to do the same, even if loving our neighbor comes at a cost. That cost is one that is always worth paying. So let us strive to bring that love into being, one act, one word, and one mustard seed at a time. Amen.